And writer Stephen Barrett, of course, joined me yesterday on the show, and he's since had a chance to fully digest Rishi Sunak's emergency Rwanda legislation. So let's get his thoughts on it now. Stephen, when we spoke yesterday, you were very clear in your position. You've taken some advice from colleagues, learned colleagues, who also said it would be very easy for even a mediocre lawyer to drive a coach and horses through this and cause problems for the government. Today, in part two, I wanted to ask you, because you are a guy that cuts straight to the chase and you're apolitical in your analysis, what Rishi Sunak should have done or what he could do to make this more bomb-proof.
Well, it's very kind of you to have me back, because one of the things about doing law in public, and it is pure vanity, but I do like to be first. And I'm usually first. I mean, I was first on the TCA deal. I was, you know, I was first on the Windsor framework. I like to get in quickly. My dad picked me up after my, I wrote an article which raised the 6 points I raised on your show in The Spectator. And my dad picked me up on my article and said, you've missed one. And this is in the bill. It's in section 4. And he's quite right. I did miss it. There is the right to argue, for a person to argue in before our own courts, that because of their personal circumstances, Rwanda's not safe for them. And that is going to be death by a thousand cuts. It's the seventh hole, if you like, in this bill. I mean, I used the analogy of a castle yesterday. If your castle wall's got seven holes in it, the castle's not going to stand. You know, he's quite right to pick me up. In my defence, he hadn't actually noticed the Northern Irish issue, so I do at least have some sort of, you know, familial leg to stand on here. But it's right to raise it. I think Professor Richard Eakins has raised it as well. What's happened is that this bill is not fit for purpose. Now, there's something else I think that your viewers need to know that was glossed over. On Tuesday or Wednesday this week, I forget which, the High Court declared that what's happening now is an emergency as law. Okay, so that means our government is justified in taking extraordinary steps in order to deal with the crisis. And the law has already said this is an emergency. How they deal with it is up to them, but this is not going to solve that emergency, and we know that now. So are we going to engage in the farcical process of trying to get this through the House of Commons, trying to get it through the House of Lords, patting ourselves on the back when it's statute, and then watching the inevitable court cases that will come? And, you know, Mike, that is right. Section 4 is what they'll go to first. I'm right. Somebody will go to the ECHR and argue. Somebody will go to the ECJ and argue. And somebody will raise the point about fact. In our own court as well. So there would be both big and small attempts to cut this down. You know, the Section 4 issue, that is the new one I'm raising today, that'll be death by a thousand cuts, because simply everybody will claim that they've got special circumstances. It'll clog up the courts, if nothing else. I mean, it'll be absolutely insane. Every single migrant will argue, because of my special circumstances, Rwanda doesn't work for me. And we'll start to see pathetic arguments, because I'm afraid in immigration law, we do often see quite weak arguments taken. Those lawyers who take those arguments would say, well, look, I'm trying to do the best I can, possibly in the service of my client. And that's absolutely true. But we do see quite weak arguments taken. We're going to see the kitchen sink is going to be thrown at this at the low level. And as I identified yesterday, at the high level, there's going to be some very serious challenges. Rishi Sunak needs to redraft this bill if he wants to do anything about what law now recognises as an emergency. And if you'll indulge me lightly on this, Martin, I'd like to just praise the judge in question who declared this an emergency. And I'd like everybody to notice the brilliance of the British judges. So the judge in question, and she might find this embarrassing, I hope she doesn't, but she is married to a former leader of the opposition, so a former Labour Party leader. And she has done her absolute duty to justice and produced, you know, a judgment, which actually in this instance supports the government, but is true. And we have these amazing people working as judges in our country who a bit like I tried to, hang up their personal politics when they go and sit as a judge. And they take being a judge very seriously. And it's her brilliance that has declared this an emergency. I think she's absolutely right on the law on that. I agree with her. I don't think an appeal on that would succeed. I think this is an emergency. And in an emergency, we need a government to act. At the moment, we seem to have a government that is not acting or is acting in a way that's not going to work.
Okay.
You know, and this is as serious as any emergency can be.
Okay, Stephen Barrett, you know, once again, thank you for boiling it all down. You've been through it with a fine-tooth comb. You missed a bit, but your dad picked it up. But there are seven holes in this, and you say this is not fit for purpose. Thank you for giving us that. And also for making an impassioned defence of our legal system, which often comes under attack. Actually, probably the draft itself was the problem, not the going through the courts bit. Stephen Barrett, thank you, as ever, for taking the BS out of the barrister business. Thank you very much.